I would get hungry. So at halftime, you come in and you see all the inactive guys. They're over there stuffing their face with the hot dogs.
You don't want to get in trouble.
And so I was like, man, I'm starving. Like, you know, I would have the equipment guy go into the bathroom and I would hang out in the stall. I wasn't
eat
doing
me
any,
in stall.
I wasn't
doing
any business, in the bathroom. But he would hand me one underneath it and I would quick
okay,
eat a hot
that's
dog.
That's different.
He gave me like a mustard pack and went down. I spilled mustard on my jersey. So I came out of the stall and Chris Palmer was washing his hands. He had just got done. He looks over and I would come out and I got mustard all over my jersey. And he's looking at me, he's shaking his head. And I'm like, oh, I'm definitely getting cut tomorrow.
David. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. I hope all's well wherever you are here in Studio 66. Oh, good vibes all the way around and an air of anticipation. And we'll get to that in just a second. Very quickly, let me just say, by the way, that was two Browns legends' voices that you just heard alongside of mine, Willie McGinnis, of course, and Sean O'Hara telling his famous, at least to the Dave Dameshek Football Program listeners, the tale of the time he got mustard while eating a wiener in a stall halfway through a football game.
I knew you were going to go there.
I wasn't going anywhere. MVP.
MVP did that. You can't say ate a wiener in the locker room. I mean, do you call it a hot dog or a wiener?
It's a sausage.
Okay. You can't say that either. You can't say a sausage in the locker room. It was a hot dog at halftime.
You're looking very nice and tan, Sean O'Hare. I'll introduce you in a second. A call to action they is what this is called. Go to podcastawards.com, and nominate the Dave Dameshek Football Program in the sports category. Simple and free to do, podcastawards.com. I would love to think.
How many people do we need to get to do that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Am I the only one that seems like he's struggling to read that?
Why?
No,
I'm trying to articulate myself.
Clearly.
I'm saying it slowly so that you can hear my words. If I just said it, podcastawards.com, you won't get it. But
it just
podcast
seemed like you
awards.
Were struggling to read the read.
Yeah, hey, bub.
Top to bottom, left to right.
You want
to
do a reading comprehension quiz? Let's get
Let's
it on.
Let's do it.
I'm all over that with the older kids right now. Me and the 11-year-old, 9-year-old. Yeah, well, now we're off for the summer, but that was a big focus for us was reading comprehension and how to apply that.
Who's the best of the three of you?
Right now, I'm definitely in the top two.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I'm not the worst, which is always my goal.
That's a plus.
Good thing for that 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Same thing for me. That was always the thing for me. Pie in the sky when it was time for pick up anything in the backyard. I always wished I would have been the first person chosen. Never was. But I'm at least mildly proud to say never picked last either.
Okay.
Maybe second to last.
Playground goals, hashtag.
Anyway, podcastawards.com. Click listener nominations now at the top of the page. Sign up, sports category, and nominate the DDFP. Much obliged. And now that's just a little bit of business to a ceremony of sorts. First, let's say hello to the man seated in between the voice you keep hearing there, Sean O'Hara. He is our resident Miami Dolphins fan. He is also from the United Kingdom, eager, talk about anticipatory. He's very excited about, what is it, the Three Lions?
The
game
three
on
Lions,
Wednesday,
yep.
Depending on when you're listening. His team could advance with a brilliant 90. They could advance to the
brilliant
final.
Brilliant 90, that's what they're looking for.
That's what they call it, right?
We need to go out there, lads, and have a brilliant 90.
Out on the pitch. Here he is, everybody. It's Handsome Hank.
Enough.
That's enough?
That's enough.
You don't
We've got
hear
a big ceremony to get to.
I know, but it's he's a British icon, and I thought in honor of your people having a big moment in sports right now, you might want to let it play through.
That's kind, but I'm excited. I'm anticipating this ceremony a little bit more.
All right, and then
so
also,
if they get in, technically you would become Triple H. You would be happy, Handsome Hank.
That is true. Yeah, I would be. I'm also heading back to the UK on Thursday night. So if
you're kidding.
If they are in the final, I'll be in.
Well, out of spite,
England
since you maybe the Three Lions, the players on the team are going to lose out of spite for you, since
That's
you turn
possible,
your back
yes.
on their brand of football in favor of American gridiron.
The better brand of football.
By the way, how was your July 4th, Handsome? I know you standardly never celebrate it.
I pulled the blinds down like I do every year.
You worked?
Lit a candle for the brave redcoats and got back to work.
Loyalty. Yep. At least. At least we got to give him points for loyalty. Mm-hmm. Now on to the other guy. We know him as one of the great Browns of our lives, at least. Also toiled for the New York Giants.
I don't know if that's accurate. I kind of shudder a little bit when you
if you watch the Browns, not a lot to choose from, man.
Like Willie McGinnis, absolutely.
Okay,
I'm with you on that.
Hanford Dixon, Bernie Kosar, then what?
Yeah.
That's it. We're out.
You want to go Biner. Original Dog Pound for sure. You want to go? Ernest Biner, Kevin Mack, Ozzie Newsome, all those guys.
Yeah, you're somewhere in that mix.
Minifield.
Yeah. Reggie Rucker was good. He wore number 33. Yeah,
Webster Slaughter,
and Reggie he just wore the double bar too as a wide receiver. That was courageous.
Yeah.
Don Strock had that one great game Brian for them Brennan. In the playoffs.
Did you? Oh, here he is. So it's Sean O'Hare. What's the poop call?
Oh, there you are.
We got to get you a theme song. What's your favorite style of music, O'Hara?
I'm a little bit of a mutt when it comes to music. It kind of depends on what am I doing.
Yeah.
If I'm hanging out,
do you have a theme song of some sort that we might song. Be?
People don't have themes.
Well, what did you listen to in the locker room before the big game?
I listened to
Trance.
Rocky.
Billy Joel.
Rocky.
Rocky, for real.
Eye of the Tiger.
Is that true? You really did?
Yeah. I had the Rocky soundtrack.
What a nerd. Eye of the Tiger.
I mean, that was like workout video stuff and workout music. I listened to rock. I listened to a lot of, I mean, I had a playlist, I don't know if that was accurate then, but I kind of had different songs that I liked to listen to leading up to the game and, nothing too crazy, but, I like everything. I mean, I like old school hip hop. I was in college when, Tupac and Biggie were going back and forth and, I grew to appreciate all that. So
you're more East Coast though, right? In the war?
Yeah, more. Well, I mean, I'm more East Coast because demographically that's where I was. But
you're toiling at Rutgers. You're a Scarlet Knight.
Yeah, I mean, but the West Coast stuff was legit. I mean, I'm a big Dr. Dre fan, Snoop, Warren G. I'm thinking something.
Emma VP is the head writer, so ultimately she gets to make the call on this. But I'm going to – Tribe?
Black Sheep.
Ooh, I love Tribe Called Quest. Emma VP, you get the final decision on this, but I'm thinking something from either Biggie or Snoop or Dre for Sean O'Hara's theme song.
No doubt.
Is that
I'm thinking Eye of the Tiger.
I think that might throw people off. I mean, my favorite Rocky song is No Easy Way Out.
You can't
say that, Dave.
Mustard Stall.
You're probably one of those guys that rewinds the hot dog eating contest. Oh, my gosh, he ate another wiener.
No, but you know what? I'm glad you reminded me of that. We have 51 weeks or so until the next one. I say it every year. No one has taken me up on this yet. I think if you want to win the psychological game, O'Hara, you're a pro athlete. You get that's a key element.
Was.
Right. Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. All right. I maintain that's why I stay in shape, because even though I've retired from my Connect Four playing days, I never know. Who knows when I might be forced back into action. I think that the hot dog eating competitor who wants to win before the event even starts makes the savvy play, intimidates all of his. Before the first hot dog, please, can I get a large side of fries and a vanilla shake? Right? You're here to eat for pleasure. What? I was just fixing for like some sort of a competition. This guy's working on a different level.
That's
right?
That's like running 5 miles before you run a marathon. Mm-hmm. Like that kind of mindset. I don't know if that's going to pay off for you. It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
Not exactly.
We'll see if it pays off for him.
I mean, anyway.
or just be like Lardass in Stand By Me and just chug a couple raw eggs and some castor oil, and then the joke's on everybody else.
Right. Look, who knows his Stand By Me?
Yeah, I brought the comb. Way to go, Vern.
Wow, handsome. Do you know that American classic?
I do. I love it.
Coming of Age.
I haven't watched it in a long time, but it's a great movie.
All right. All that prelude, that little warm-up chat is over with. Now to the main event, and then everything else after this will be anticlimactic as we delve into the world of pro football and the game of life as Pro Football Kickoff 2018 draws ever closer. One thing we do have to do, some dark news for one of the 32 NFL teams out there. I am going to be announcing no playoffs for you. For one of those teams. This will be our fourth team to make the dreaded list, MVP.
Fourth team.
Uh-oh. All right, we'll review the teams already on that list. But for now, it has been promised. There is no greater honor that I can bestow upon anyone who shadows the Studio 66 door. It is now his turn. Browns legend, and like I say, also played for the New York Giants. You've done it, Sean O'Hara. Welcome to the DDFP Wall of Fame.
Wow.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, is that mustard?
Got mustard
on it.
Wow.
Look at that.
Thank you.
How nice. There's James Jones.
Yeah, James Jones. I mean, he's been here for 2 minutes.
There's Ryan Shazier, the Shecky Award winner for our favorite football playing guest last year. And look who else is going to be thrilled. He's not here for the ceremony.
Don't tell him. Don't ruin the surprise.
Okay, I won't. Willie
McGinnis. Another Browns jersey hangs on our wall.
No mustard on his jersey, I see.
But he wasn't eating wieners and stalls during
stalls,
games.
Exactly.
Exactly.
No sausage for Willie.
Do you want to make a speech? As is the custom of this very second, the custom is from now until the end of time is you don't thank anybody. You have to call out people who didn't believe in you along the way.
Hmm.
Coach, call teacher, ex-girlfriend,
there's plenty of people to call out. I didn't get a scholarship out of high school, so all Division I schools, with the exception of Rutgers. Actually,
Shame on you. Right.
Undrafted, so all 32 teams.
All 32
shame
teams.
On all
shame
of
seven
you.
Times
on
over.
All your homes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing I will say is how, you know, I don't know how Shazier feels about being in between two Browns. But you've got them sandwiched in there.
It's sort of disruptive. You know, that's what the Steelers do. They disrupt the dreams.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, thank you for the love. It's not often offensive linemen get their jerseys up on any kind of wall.
Get to the playoff music. It's enough. Emma, there we go. Yeah, that's good. Okay, great. That was a thrill. I'm glad I could be here to see that.
That was special. Yeah, thank you. I think all the fans in Berea, Ohio, are going to love seeing.
They're going to be excited to see
Big 60 fans.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Browns fans, you know, the Cavs people out there, they got off the schneid a couple of years ago. Now you can count yourself on the winning side here, at least when it comes to the Digital Wall of Fame. Don't say you never won anything, because now you have.
Do you ever, if you go to Browns fans, do you ever see people wearing 60 jerseys in the crowd?
Yeah, actually, I did. It was pretty impressive, actually.
Not related to you?
I looked up, I'm like, wow, look at all those 60 jerseys.
Look at those
60s. Oh, hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I'm like, oh, my whole neighborhood's there.
Yeah. They started a fan club for me.
So I might be mistaken on this, but I think Otto Graham.
I think you're right, too.
I think you did.
So
why did they give you that number?
I remember, why did Otto Graham have 60? So I remember saying, wow, I'm shocked that 60 hasn't been retired. Otto Graham wore it. But, so I did see a few throwback 60 jerseys, and I'm like, yeah, that one's pretty faded.
That's probably not mine.
Would football be better or worse if you just cut it all loose and said you can do any number you want under 100? Or, you know what, even including 100?
I think it would probably be a little bit distracting. Mm. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's some, you know, big guy that would want a single digit number, and it would just look weird for
QB number 7
for a 330-pound guy to have just one number in the middle of his jersey. That would probably look a little interesting.
Legendary, standout Notre Dame defensive front about like 5-6 years ago. It seems like several of them, including Stephon Tuitt, was one of them who wore a single digit, and it makes it makes it hard to evaluate them. Like, is he going to make it in the NFL? I can't tell because he has a six
number
on,
six, exactly.
And I can't tell how big he is out there.
Yeah, it makes it a little different. But I don't know. Hey, you know, the problem is there are some teams that have retired so many numbers already. They kind of had to stop doing it because now they realize, wow, we've got nothing left, running out of numbers for guys to wear.
Yeah. My favorite one is, I think I've said it on the show before, the Indianapolis Colts list of retired players or retired numbers and jerseys and that hangs in the rafters when you're at the combine is you're like, really?
I brought that up. In fact, be careful what you say because Sean O'Hara can turn around. He is working on Total Access today with one Reggie Wayne, who's soon to join the Ring of Honor.
He will be at the top of the Ring of Honor.
You guys had him on first, clearly.
Oh, I missed Reggie Wayne. Also has now made the Wall of Fame. What a banner day.
Yeah.
It's losing some of its, you know.
Luster.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe too many at once. Mm. Not you, though.
No.
Don't tell the clearly, other fellas I said that.
Clearly not.
But yes, Reggie Wayne, it's cool for him. But if you do focus too much on who's in that Ring of Honor already, it's an underwhelming group.
It's an underwhelming group. Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh. Why is Jim Harbaugh
his
Colts
His jersey
Ring of
is
Honor?
Retired in the Ring of Honor.
Do the Browns not retire jerseys? Because if anybody were going to be retired from that organization, it would be Otto Graham. They must not.
Well, I think the one thing you got to kind of differentiate is just because you're in the Ring of Honor doesn't mean the jerseys retire.
True.
Right. So two different things.
You can be up there and someone can still wear your jersey.
What do the Giants have?
In terms of what? Ring of Honor?
They do numbers because they retired LTs.
They retired LTs, Harry Carson.
Mm-hmm.
They might have retired Carl Banks too.
Not many 50s.
Nobody's
left.
Wearing Strahan.
Right.
Yeah, the 50s. I mean, 50s, if you're a linebacker.
It's got a lot to pick from.
I hope you like a 40 number.
Yeah, Sam Huff, 70 must be
Huff.
Hung, right?
No
running backs, though.
I think
because they'll never retire Tiki's.
No. Well, they could, but.
Wow, there's going to have to be a lot of water to come under that bridge.
Landon Collins is wearing that jersey right now, too, so that makes it tough.
It's going to get retired.
I think Phil Sims said that happened.
Yeah. Let's see.
You would think – did you say Gifford?
I think Gifford. Yeah, I think Gifford's retired. And I also think I think Y.A. Tittle, 14, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's retired.
That sounds right.
So they've got a lot.
They got a lot.
All right, let's start there with a little Giants talk. I want to address, I promised on social media that a couple of issues we would address with you. Then we'll get to the latest team on the No Playoffs For You list. But let's talk about those Giants, and I'm going to say it to you here now, face-to-face. I know it's not going to break your heart because, as you mentioned, you're now a former professional athlete, Sean O'Hare, not a current one. Your former team, the New York Giants, is one of the teams that is not going to the playoffs in 2018. How say
you? Yeah, they were the first team. Dave has been pulling out teams and saying, of all 32, here are the teams that are not going to the playoffs. The very first team you picked.
I wanted to start with a bang. If I take an obvious one, then people are going to be like, oh, obviously that team's not. Giants, a lot of people are very high on right now, ignoring their first seven games.
Definitely not going to the playoffs. Already,
I said definitely not.
In June.
I said they're not. Well, listen, Elliott and Dak Prescott both get hurt, and Carson Wentz and Nick Foles both get hurt, then maybe I'll change my opinion. But until that happens, yes, the Giants are definitely not going to the playoffs.
I think the NFC East is always been one of those divisions that the favorite always ends up stumbling.
Right.
And the team that nobody really thought was going to be great ends up winning the division. Eagles are case in point. They were worst in the division 2 years ago. They went from worst to first, won the Super Bowl. So I would disagree with you about the Giants. And I think when I look, everybody will say, oh, my gosh, Saquon Barkley, and, you know, they're going to be so much better offensively now. I just look at the attitude that has changed in that building. I look at the way the offense has completely changed. I don't think the offense for the New York Giants for the last 3 years was built to win that division. And when you look at their philosophy, their lack of a run game, they couldn't close games out. You can't not run the ball in the first three quarters and then in the fourth quarter decide.
Suddenly get it good.
Hey, we're going to go form an offense and wear the clock out. The Giants were in a lot of games over the last few years and had a lead in a lot of games and then lost them. And you can blame the defense if you want. I blame the offense for putting the defense back out there. And it's because they did not have a physical offense. When you look at bringing in Nate Solder, drafting Will Hernandez, I think Rhett Ellison is going to be better utilized in this offense because they're going to have much more eye formation, you know, single back, more play action passing, more down the field throwing from Eli. That's more his forte. I think this offense is going to be completely different. So I think for the Giants, to me, the big question mark I have with them is their defense. They're going from a 4-3 to a 3-4 defense. Completely different personnel. Now you've got two stand-up linebackers on the edge and in a Sam and a Will linebacker. And they've got to be able to drop in coverage. They've got to be able to cover a back out of the backfield. So it's a little bit different. We're going to see Olivier Vernon standing up, not with his hand in the ground. I think from the inside standpoint, that's why they went out and got Alec Ogletree, who I think is kind of flown under the radar in that division. He is a stud linebacker. I think he's going to be a big factor in that defense, kind of getting back to what they were 2 years ago. So I think for the Giants, you know, really for them and everybody I've talked to on the team, they just can't wait. Like, they can't wait to get the season going because they just want to put last year behind them. And rarely ever are players chomping at the bit to get to camp and to get the season started. But I know that team is really eager to get out there. And I feel like it's just got such a different – it's so much more of a of a businesslike and professional approach on so many accounts, definitely on both sides of the ball.
You're looking pretty stupid now, Dave.
We're still in July, right?
Well, okay, but more stupid than ever.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, we've never done it before, but we can. I have the power to ask MVP to take that off the wall.
But here's the interesting thing: when you look at the NFC East, it might be the most competitive division in the league right now. And when you bring in Alex Smith now to Washington, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know that we've ever said in the last 3 years, wow, hey, Washington is a real threat. You know, Kirk Cousins, I mean, people, you know, he's like vanilla ice cream. People love him or hate him. They're not really sure where they sit on mm-hmm. that. And I think, but you look at Alex Smith, look, the kid can win. And I think he's much more athletic and much more mobile than anybody gives him credit for. So now you look at that division, you've got three really mobile quarterbacks. Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, provided he's healthy, and now Alex Smith. That's really hard for defenses to all of a sudden now have to – we've got to study the read option. We've got to take reps on that. We've got to figure out if the quarterback's going to be out of the pocket moving around. So that division, when you look at it from a defense now who we're going against – I think it's remarkably different.
How about Sean O'Hare? He walks in like a ball of fire. I love it. Imbued with the newfound confidence now that his jersey hangs alongside some of the greats of the 21st century.
Even though it's a Browns jersey.
Right.
And we're talking Giants. That's all right.
All right. That shows your versatility, man. Yeah. Maybe
I'll get a second one.
What do they call you? A swing lineman when you were with the Giants? So you could do the center thing. You could do a little guard, right?
I was a swinger. Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
See?
You want to throw it
out? I don't think you can say that. All that kind of stuff.
You could say that.
Now, here's the legitimate question for you. Bill Belichick is the example that jumps to mind here. But any number of coaches didn't exactly thrive in their first stop as an NFL head coach, but then did succeed beyond that. It does, though. There is something that looms for me, which is that some guys are just better off as coordinators, and that's not to diminish them. I mean, they're better tacticians than they are. I know it's not rah-rah in the locker room in NFL anymore, but, you know, the what you think of some Newt Rockne-type fire-up speech before the big game, whatever. Is Pat Shurmur that guy, though? Because that was the knock on him, was that he just wasn't he wasn't a leader of men in his first go-around.
I think everybody's better the second time they do anything. The one thing that I've really been impressed with Shurmur is his ability to communicate with people. He's been very proactive with it. I got a text message the week of the Super Bowl. Shurmur had just been hired, and it was an unknown number. It was Pat Shurmur. Hmm. He texted me. He went out of his way, got his phone, got my phone number, texted me. I ended up calling him back. We talked. I found out that he did that with a bunch of former Giant players, guys that he just wanted to connect with and just say, look, you're a part of this organization. You're a part of the franchise. I want to bring everybody full circle. And I don't think he did that in Cleveland. I think he's just kind of learned, hey, this is the way that you kind of build an army, build a team, mm-hmm. and he's learned how to gain momentum with that. So I think he's much better off than he was in Cleveland. You think about Bill Belichick, you brought him up, so I'll bring him up. He failed miserably in Cleveland. He was a head coach. He got fired. I mean, people were talking about he might not ever get another head coaching job mm-hmm. again. It's Cleveland, so you know, you kind of take that with a grain of salt with Pat Shurmur and what he had around him there. But I think – when everything you've heard Gettleman say about him, about how professional he was and how, you know, no nonsense he was, I think that's really what that locker room needs right now. And I think he's been good for them. So I think when you look at the talent he's surrounded himself with from a coaching standpoint, I think they're in pretty good hands. And I think the fact that he doesn't have to worry about the quarterback position, every head coach in Cleveland, since they came back as the Browns, has had to worry about who is our quarterback. Are we going to be consistent? Who's it going to be? Is he our guy for the long term? And they're still trying to figure that out. You know, I mean, how many times have they drafted a quarterback in the first round since they came back?
It's interesting you say that, because maybe that is part of Gettleman's analysis on draft day in Dallas when all of a sudden the news breaks. Wait, Baker Mayfield's going one? Wow, that opens up some things that we didn't think were going to be there last week. They could have gone Darnold. They could have gone mm-hmm. Rosen. And instead, it was that partially maybe to help Shurmur in his first go around.
Well, I think
because that would be a controversy. If you had Darnold there behind 38-year-old Eli, there would be some percentage of Giants fans saying, "Put in the kid, and it's enough with the old guy."
Well, I think any head coach will tell you that the last thing they want to have to deal with is a quarterback controversy, and that can be a number of different ways. Either we don't have a starting quarterback, so now we've got quarterback controversy because one of these guys has to win it in training camp, or we've got a quarterback and then we've got a young gun who everybody's pining for. Now as soon as our starting quarterback has a bad game, the fans are chanting for this. Now we've got to deal with it. It's just a lot of distraction. So I'm sure that was an aspect of hey, what are we looking at? But to have the best player in the draft, Saquon Barkley, land and right in your lap at number two, I think that was a no-brainer.
Yeah, hard to turn that down.
Yeah, but you mentioned the coordinator aspect of it. I think I've been around a lot of coaches. When they become a head coach, they were great as a coordinator. They loved to tease guys. They were kind of, they were fun. They didn't have to be the disciplinarian. They're kind of like the fun uncle. Hey, here's my crazy uncle. Hey, we're going to go out to a game, and, you know, he's going to get me a burger and a beer or maybe some ice cream, or, you know, that's fun. That's cool. Well, all of a sudden, when it's got to be your dad, now it's different. Now he's got to discipline you. A lot of coordinators are really good guys. They're awesome guys. They become a head coach, and everything gets tight. And now it's like, why couldn't you be
save
the same
that
guy?
Sound effect for future reference there, MVP. You know what it goes
you
for.
Know, you at the head coach, now that they got to drop the hammer on guys, they kind of change and they can morph, and I think that's why you see a lot of guys struggle with that.
Interesting. Now, I completely agree with the move by Shermer. That's the wise thing to do if you're with a storied franchise like that. The Rams, when they moved to St. Louis, made a mistake of sort of turning their backs on all the LA right. Ram legends, which, you know, that's why would you do that when you have, like I say, a rich history to lean on and bring in those guys that accomplish things. Were you disappointed, though, that when you found out that Shermer didn't send the text only to you? Oh, I guess I'm not. I thought it was just me, Pat.
What do you mean found out?
Oh, you did it to everybody? Oh, David Deal got one too, huh? No. I guess I don't feel so special anymore.
As soon as I saw that it was him, I knew that he was – you know, he was rounding the troops.
Snee got one?
On. Yeah.
Snee got it too?
I think it's one of those things that, you know what, if I was in his position, I would have done the same
thing. I think it's a great move. I do, legitimately.
To all those guys.
Hey, real quick, fellas, let's go around here. And starting with the New York Football Giants, O'Hara mentioned some big names that have now arrived. Alec Ogletree is a pretty big one as far as I'm concerned to steady a defense like he did for the Los Angeles Rams. Hanson, I start with you. Mm-hmm. The biggest addition, we're going to go by team for the Giants. Go.
I'm going to go with Nate Solder just because it's been a problem position for so long. How can that, like having that guy to come in and just, you know, that's a piece you can slot in and he's going to do the job that no one else was able to do for the last few years. I think, and to Sean's point around the running game, it's only going to.
I like it. The only issue I have with Nate Solder is, and I'm certainly not an expert, as you know, O'Hare, I always say I'm not so pretentious as to claim I can evaluate 300-pound men who lean on other 300-pound men as well as you can.
You live life outside the hash marks.
Listen, I could pretend. I could be a phony and claim I know what it is, but I don't. I defer to you. It's hard to evaluate. It's a sea of humanity in there. I can see if the overall line is good or bad. And that's pretty easy to deduce by just watching the movement of the overall line. Is it moving back or forward? The individual,
is
though.
The is the quarterback on his back on the ground?
I love when schnooks are like, oh, yeah, Anthony Munoz, greatest left tackle of all time. Based on what? Because other people told you that? You have no idea what you're talking about. Right? You do.
He's arguably one of the best.
You understand. But I'm saying sure. Schnooks, when they start in with that business, I laugh. Now, Nate Solder. I don't know, based on the evaluations that I've heard from many people in your position, and there are not that many of you who can speak intelligibly about it, Nate Solder, where does he rank? Is he some sort of Pro Bowl level left tackle? Seems like some people say no.
Yeah, he is. He's got Pro Bowl skill. It's funny because I feel like he's gotten a deduction because he plays with Brady. And everybody says, well, it's Brady. Oh, well, it's the Patriots. So he – Brady gets the ball.
That's what I hear. That's exactly what people say.
And I tell you, Nate Solder, for as big of a guy as he is, he looks like Drago. Like he's that big, and I mean, he's ripped up. I mean, he's lean, but he's so athletic. And I think one of the biggest assets that he has going for him is he's got those go-go gadget arms. And at left tackle, if you are going to play that position, these guys are so athletic. They're so strong and yet fast. You've got to be able to punch. You've got to be able to engage them away from your body. You can't let them get into you. And that's what Nate Solder has done a great job of. So I'm with you on that. Yeah, he's the first bona fide left tackle they've had there in a long time. You know, Eric Flowers has been a mess. You know, moving him to right tackle hopefully will help him out a little bit. But even before that, you know, Will Beattie was an athletic tackle, but he was not a physical guy at all. Nate Solder, he's a really good pass blocker. I'd say he's an elite pass blocking left tackle. He doesn't get enough credit for how good he is in the run. And so that's why I think him next to Will Hernandez.
I was just going to say that, just to change it up, I'll say Will Hernandez based on what people say, the nasty and all that kind of stuff. What you said about what the NFC East football is, it seems like he suits that MO.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he just wants to punish people. And you know what? That you need that. You need offensive linemen that want to grind people in the ground. They want to drop a people's elbow on somebody every single play. If you don't have that mentality, then you're not going to be able to survive 16 weeks. And you've got to inflict punishment on the defense. So if you don't have that mindset, it's not just all of a sudden going to happen on Sunday. So I like those two guys. I think there's two guys that I'd love to just mention real quick that I think are under the radar when it comes to the Giants with what they did this offseason. Patrick Omame, they signed him from Jacksonville. Now, he was free because Jacksonville went after Andrew Norwell, the guard for Carolina. But I think Patrick Omame is a really good guard. And I think he was kind of flew under the radar a little bit in free agency. I think he's going to add some more physicality and girth. And then it's funny because Saquon Barkley is electric. He's explosive. And it's all everybody's focusing on. But I really think Jonathan Stewart is going to be huge for the Giants. Now, when I say huge, I'm not saying he's going to rush for 1,000 yards, but when's the last time they had a veteran running back in that room? When's the last time they had somebody that, you know what, when we're running the 4-minute offense or, you know what, it's 3rd-and-1, we need somebody that we know can get a yard. Jonathan Stewart is that guy. And so you drafted the kid in Barkley. You've got Jonathan Stewart, the veteran, who was like Tiki Barber when we drafted Brandon Jacobs mm-hmm. and Ahmad Bradshaw, can kind of show them the ropes a little bit, teach them about protections and blitzes. I think Jonathan Stewart, his payoff may not be on the field. It may be off the field, but I really think that he's going to also take the pressure off of Saquon. Jonathan Stewart is the starting running back, if you ask me. Week one, he's the starting running back. You bring Saquon in, and I think Jonathan Stewart has got a lot of tread left on his tire, so I think he's kind of a guy that's flying under the radar for them.
That's a great point because you get Saquon. Well, obviously they get Jonathan Stewart before they get Saquon, but I would imagine there are plenty of franchises out there would say, oh, we needed a running back. Well, we got Saquon. Problem solved, but, of course, 21st century attrition is a
part. Look at Alvin Kamara. You know
right.
what I mean?
Guys Mark go down, Ingram. Right. Jonathan Stewart's good when he's healthy. He has been good throughout his career.
And you look at last year, the Carolina Panthers drafted Christian McCaffrey. Well, Jonathan Stewart was still the starting running back. Mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey came in and was kind of that, you know, change the pace guy. And do you know who their offensive coordinator was in Carolina last year? Mike Shula. You know the quarterback coach.
I don't understand why Mike Shula gets such grief. He did great things.
He great.
He cut Cam loose. He let Cam be Cam. I suspect he's not going to ask Eli to play similarly to Cam. Is there anybody?
Won't be much read option.
Do you think
won't be a lot of quarterback draw on the five? I guarantee you that.
Is there one thing because it is talk about beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You and I agree. I think all three of us agree. Eli's destined for a gold jacket, and the cynics be damned, he's going to the Hall of Fame, right, Handsome? You agree with me on that?
Yeah, I'm not totally convinced.
Well, I think he's. I think.
I mean, I think he is.
Him.
I think. I mean, like on the basis that yes, if you win two Super Bowls, you get a gold jacket,
well, especially
yes,
against
is.
Brady and the numbers that he's going to have when he retires. It's going to be hard to argue against it. But either way, Eli to me is the number one of a capable quarterback. I'm not talking about some bum, no matter what situation you put him into. Eli is the would be good quarterback as long as you keep him clean. If he gets heat, he's going to really struggle. Fair?
Not his strong point.
Right. I mean, you got to start
although,
there.
Although he did it against the Patriots in Super Bowl 42, evading the rush is not
on one
his favorite
play.
Thing to
but,
do.
But again,
60 was helping
him. Say the same thing about Peyton. You say the same thing about Brady.
A lot of quarterbacks, they're not
mobile. You got to give him a pocket. The problem is he didn't even have a pocket. So to your point, I think when you look at kind of the last couple of years and how Eli and that offense has looked bad at times, Eli will never say it. He'll never say, man, you know what? This ball has to come out sooner than it's supposed to because somebody's getting beat, whether it's my tackle, whether it's a tight end, whether it's, you know, somebody up front. So it's been really hard to watch that and to see all that. But when you look at this Giants offense right now, Evan Ingram at tight end,
It should be Sterling Shepard in the slot. Odell,
this might be the most talented team Eli has ever had around.
Right. I agree with you, except everybody should temper their enthusiasm by referring back to, I don't mean a decade ago.
Last year.
1 year ago. How is anybody going to stop this offense?
Brandon Marshall.
But the difference is that line. You've got on that offensive line, you've got three new starters.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, and possibly a new center because John Jalapio and Brett Jones are fighting for the center job too. So
let's say it's three, maybe it's four. How easy is it for that unit to gel? Because individually, you might be really excited about Will Hernandez, really excited about Nate Solder, really excited about Eric Flowers as a right tackle, more excited about him as a right tackle than a left tackle. But how easy is that for?
Yeah, it's not easy. It definitely takes time, and I think that's one of the biggest keys in training camp is going to be let's figure out our best five and let's get them starting and playing
as
together
quick as possible.
Much as possible. Yeah. We can't have guys rotating in like they've had in the last few years. So that chemistry aspect is going to be big. But it's funny because Rich Eisen, I ran into him right before training camp last year.
Not familiar with that name.
And he
said, I do know who that is. I'm sorry.
I've seen him on TV.
I'm sorry.
Long hair.
I got
hair.
It. I'm, no, I'm
great
up to
head,
speed.
Great head hair.
I know him. I know. Right.
You might remember from the Marriott Courtyard commercial.
That's the guy. That's exactly who I was thinking of. Yeah.
And that CBS show.
Yes. No.
I don't remember what it was called.
I don't know what you're talking about, but all right.
So
it was a TV show.
We were talking about that last year.
I thought he had a sitcom or something. I didn't know.
He said, I'm picking the Giants. You know, I think they're a favorite. Not just to win the division. He was saying they might be a Super Bowl favorite.
Oh,
come on. And he said, kind of tell me why. And I said, you know what? I'm with you on that. I said, my biggest fear is the offensive line. I said, I don't trust them. And it's not just the starting five. It's that they don't have any depth. So we actually had that conversation. So to your point, a lot of people, even last year in training camp, I remember being there that first week or second week or whatever, and Odell was just making ridiculous catch after ridiculous catch, and Brandon Marshall was eating up safeties and corners. And I remember talking to someone. They said, man, we haven't seen an offense this look good in training this good in training camp this early. In a long time, and then the wheels fell off.
Yeah, people forget
you have to do
the
any.
Other side. Yeah. They're going to resist you from the other
exactly.
side. Hey, okay, before we move to the other three teams here, real quick, one last question. How do you think, again, we don't know health, but let's assume perfect health on both sides. Do you imagine the scenario? How do you think it goes down in the Meadowlands, week one, Tom Coughlin and the Jaguars roll into town? That's the first thing that makes me think Giants are in trouble because aren't the Jags going to come in there and just break their will? Like, just going to – they're going to send the message to the NFL, we're back and we're going to be more dominant this year than we were last year.
It's going to be – I tell you what, there's going to be so many different emotions going on in that stadium because for Tom to come back, you know, and he's not the head coach, he's on the sideline, he'll be up in the press box, but, you know, everybody knows and they're aware. There's still so many Giants fans that love Tom. So it's going to be a Tom love fest. Mm. But two teams that had totally different styles, really. And when you look at offensively, Jacksonville, they just want to beat you up. So, I mean, that game is going to be very interesting because this Giants defense, we just kind of hit on it briefly, they're switching. And I always feel like whenever you go from a 4-3 to a 3-4, those first couple weeks of the season – everybody's still trying to figure it out. Preseason games, look, you're not – nobody's running exotic plays. It's very rudimentary, you know, very elementary. And I think when you look at how many times defenses struggle, the mental errors, they happen a lot in preseason, but they happen a lot in the first couple weeks. So that could get ugly quick. I mean, Jacksonville could – Leonard Fournette.
It'll be awfully deflating for what is currently an optimistic fan base in New York. But also, if Eli and company show, this isn't the 2017 version, and knock the Jags down, that's going to be a fascinating story. However that one winds up is great.
Just remember this, right? Because when week one comes around, what everybody's going to be talking about is Jalen Ramsey versus Odell Beckham.
Yeah, right. I didn't think about that part.
That is going to be
– that's a matchup.
I mean, because, Jalen Ramsey loves to talk, And, I mean, this is like Josh Norman versus Odell a couple years ago when he was in Carolina. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, you saw what – I mean, he got A.J. Green to swing on him. You know, I mean, A.J. Green – I don't think anybody thought A.J. Green would ever swing.
Odell can occasionally get emotional about things as well.
Yeah, I've heard he can get a little a little fiery.
All right, let's do the next. Best addition to the world champions named Eagles.
Michael Bennett.
I agree. That's who I suggest too, because that's already their position of strength, even more so than QB, probably.
They led the league in quarterback hits last year.
Now they add Haloti Ngata and Michael Bennett. My goodness,
keep
it's crazy.
Cycling defensive linemen through there.
Yeah.
Who needs defensive backs? Just put all those guys on the field and say, get it out of your hand before we bury you, QB.
So I think the other guy, you know, Mike Wallace, you know, I'm just going to see what he can bring to that just because that offense.
The Torrey Smith role, basically, right?
But I think he's faster than Torrey. You know, and I think that having that vertical threat, you know, that offense did such a great job of kind of spreading him out, attacking the middle of the field with Zach Ertz, and then all of a sudden, you know, kind of hitting you with one deep.
The emphasis with him, though, is always on threat because, you know, you go in, he's a vertical threat, but in terms of actually making plays.
There was a time he was not bad. The thing, he can't go over the middle. But they did, they were delivering him the ball in stride. Roethlisberger was in his best days at Pittsburgh.
But since then, I mean, we're talking 7 years ago.
The one thing that is interesting to me is that LeGarrette Blount leaving could end up being a big void. Now I know that you know they picked up the running back Ajayi from in Miami, but the Eagles led the league in runs over 10 yards last year. I don't think anybody really even talked about that much, but it was ridiculous the amount of big runs they had, and LeGarrette Blount had a lot of them. So that could be he could be a tough guy to replace if Ajayi can't carry the load.
Interesting note there. The Washington Redskins, you mentioned Alex Smith. Is that who you're going to stay with for their most important addition?
Alex Smith. I mean, I think that's kind of the low-hanging fruit, but I think Orlando Scandrick could be a big pickup for them. I look at the Redskins' secondary has been, you know, I mean, look, they went out and got Josh Norman a year or so ago because their secondary was a weakness. And I think Scandrick, you pair him with Josh Norman. I think that's a pretty good looking, threat right there at corner. Scandrick can move inside too and play the slot. So I think that could be a really big pickup for that defense.
Handsome.
I would say I agree on Smith, but I would say what made Alex Smith look so good last season was the addition of Kareem Hunt. And, you know, from the get-go, he was fantastic, even in that opening game. I think having Darius Geis in the backfield with him.
If you like watching your SEC football, Darius Geis jumps out most Saturdays when you're watching.
Exactly.
If he can play at that level in the NFC East, he could be a dangerous addition there while Saquon Barkley gets the headlines. Let's go to down to Dallas, still inexplicably in the East.
Yes.
And yet, I still think the biggest rival for the other three teams. I know Eagles and Giants people will tell you that each other is their biggest foe, but it's the Cowboys that star obscures all else in the NFL universe, or at least in the NFC East, most seasons. This season, though, Handsome Hank, I start with you. Best addition.
They had a very un-Cowboys offseason.
Well, everybody says that, but except that that's exactly what Jer has done for the last 5 years, is make mostly sound personnel choices.
Right, but normally there's a splash somewhere in there of some type. And it's a very I'd say Earl Thomas, the impending arrival of Earl Thomas might be the move, but I guess
that's true.
I'm not sure what here. Alan Hearns, they need another receiver. Is his addition
pretty
really
underwhelming?
It's pretty underwhelming.
Now number one, I don't know.
They definitely, we saw what happened when their tackles aren't available, the guys that they want. So I guess having Connor Williams as a early pick in the draft is something that helps them going forward, because they don't have to worry about losing a guy so much.
Fair.
I mean, that Tyron Smith, the replacement, I can't remember the guy's name, but he embarrassed himself on national
Chaz.
TV.
Chaz. His name was Chaz Green.
Chaz Green.
And he got nunchucked.
Yeah, he really did. It wasn't,
Chaz
he
Green.
It wasn't good.
Chaz got nunchucked on
live
TV.
And so I guess not having to put Chaz out there again is good news.
All right, O'Hara.
I tell you, the Cowboys are really exercising the saying addition by subtraction this offseason. Because really, no Dez Bryant, no Jason Witten.
That's addition by subtraction.
No, I'm saying they're exercising it.
Right.
They're hoping that is the case.
They're seeing if it works. They don't know.
They don't know
that by subtracting these players that it will actually equal a positive. I think Allen Hurns and Deontay Thompson are good. They're good wide receivers. Really what this does, though, when you look at what they're doing from the passing standpoint, they're putting a lot of pressure on Dak. And look, last year it was, well, hey, maybe it's Dez's fault. He's not on the same page. He's not listening. He's not running the right routes. Or he can only run three routes, as somebody said. I think when you look at this now, it's, okay, the offense is going to look different. I think a lot more pressure is on Dak. But I look at the Cowboys. They're building this team to look a lot like the team that won the Super Bowls in the 90s. They had the wall, the offensive line, Emmitt Smith, and then obviously, you know, with Irv, the playmaker. I don't know that they have an Irvin, but they've got Ezekiel Elliott, and they have what I think could be the best offensive line in the league this year. Now, you look at just on paper, they have basically five first-round picks in their offensive line.
Sure.
There's a lot of teams that maybe have one. But, you know, you mentioned Tyron Smith, first-rounder, Travis Frederick, first-rounder, Zach Martin, first-rounder, just got, you know, highest-paid guard, mm-hmm. just got a contract, well-deserved too, by the way.
Lyle Collins might have been a first-rounder.
Lyle Collins, if it hadn't been for the ex-girlfriend, the tragic case with that coming out, like literally days before the draft, he would have been a first-rounder. Connor Williams, a lot of people had him as the second-best tackle in the draft, so he could have been a first-rounder. They pick him up in the second round. So they've got all those guys, and to your point, they really realized we had no depth. When they lost Ron Leary to free agency to the Denver Broncos last year, they realized we really don't have a sixth man. So they signed Cam Fleming from the Patriots. So now they've got assurances if something happens to Tyron Smith. And I think Connor Williams, even if he plays guard initially, he could end up being the left tackle in the future for them if Tyron Smith shuts it down in a couple of years. So that offensive line, I look at them and I say they might run the ball 35 times a game.
They might have to. You say they don't have a Mike Glover. I don't think they have an Alvin Harper either.
Well, no. I tell you what. I think Cole Beasley is very underrated. You know, I think some of these other guys can be very
he's
good
fine.
Receivers.
But he's not, but Cole Beasley's not going to be a 100 catch.
But I think to your point about defensively,
till he gets
they
to
don't
New
have
England.
Anybody on defense that really scares you. DeMarcus Lawrence is the one guy. But, you know, we've got a couple more weeks from the training camp, so that means at least three more D-linemen are going to get suspended.
Vander Esch is a moose. Vander Esch is a giant for a
so,
linebacker.
Yeah, so I like Vander Esch and Sean Lee. If he's healthy, I mean, those guys are good players. But for the Cowboys, if they're going to win games, they're going to have to run the ball 35 times, keep their defense fresh and off the field. And that's their formula.
Awesome stuff, Sean O'Hare and Handsome Hank. Let's wrap it up very quickly here because I promised I would, and I'm not one to jive. MVP, it's time for the latest team to make the dreaded no playoffs for you list. Joining the New York Giants, who now I'm admittedly wavering on after Sean O'Hare's impassioned speech.
I think you've been made to look very stupid again.
Well, we'll see, and Handsome. We don't know.
Well played.
Why is it that you always want whoever's sitting to your left
because it's nothing to do with that. It's because I don't get a word in edgeways when they're not here. And then you're like, well, I'll listen to this guy because it's Sean O'Hare.
Oh, Willie McGinnis, did you agree
with
me?
I love Browns players.
Sean O'Hare, you say such smart stuff.
Well, I mean, he's going back. To God's
You're
country.
Brilliant.
You know, an Englishman, an Irishman.
Right.
McGinnis,
what are you?
What are you, Dutch?
Team Israel. I don't know. No, I'm Russian and Serbian.
Dutch?
Russian and Serbian.
That's right. Now listen to me.
Does that make you an herb?
Who else did I?
Herb?
I don't have to stand for that. Now listen. Quickly, MVP, you ready with the music?
Who are
the other teams? The Colts?
The
Giants? And the Seahawks. Those are three big-name
teams. Three big teams.
Because they ain't going to the playoffs. This one is going to be underwhelming, but I'm going to say it nonetheless. I'm sorry. From the NFC South, you got the Saints, you got the Panthers, and you got the Falcons, who are going to be very good this year. Sorry, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No playoffs for you. That's it. Hey, O'Hara, congratulations on the big honor there, man. We're all proud of you.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
We appreciate it. You earned it, friend.
I feel pretty honored that not only am I up there, but I also have graphics on my jersey, which definitely
– No one else has got that. That stands out.
Yeah. Cinema Verite. That's what we like to do. All right. Great stuff, Sean O'Hara. Thanks so much. Make sure you check out O'Hara on Total Access and be on the lookout for a new song, perhaps set to the tune of Eye of the Tiger. And Handsome Hank, of course, traveling the world over to spread the good word.
Say flat
about
on
our
Thursday
great
night.
Game of football.
Thanks, yeah.
Best wishes to the three Lions. I hope they're still alive when you're on the ground there. That'd be fun to be there for that one. All right. We'll talk to you Thursday. Till then, it's been a thin slice of heaven.